Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
7:21 here. It's afternoon in Ukraine where reporter Joseph Lindsley is. Let's connect with Joe's news bunker right now in Lviv. And Joseph, I was reading about Russian troops carrying out 27 strikes on residential areas of Kharkiv overnight. You're in western Ukraine, of course. Kharkiv is in the east. How far is that from you?
Kharkiv is almost 700 miles from here, and I traveled there by train in late January. We knew the threat was coming. I wanted to understand that it's the second biggest city in Ukraine. It's a Russian-speaking city, or at least it was until February 24th. Many of my friends and contacts there have stopped speaking Russian since the war began. And that city, what you just reported, I mean, that has been happening every single day in Kharkiv since the first moment of the war.
Wow. And it's amazing that there, where you are in Lviv, I don't want to say life is normal there, but you're able to do things like you went to a concert recently, didn't you? Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. On Sunday night, there was a charity concert at the Jazz Club. Really the first such event like that since the war started. And it was a Jewish Ukrainian band. When I walked into the venue, there was an Israeli flag and a Ukrainian flag. And I think that's quite important because Putin's rhetoric has said that he's attacking Ukraine to denazify it. And obviously that's ridiculous because the president of this country is Jewish. But you see that in my experience, my 2 years in Ukraine since the pandemic started, I've seen one of the most tolerant countries, perhaps the most tolerant country I've ever visited. And the fact that there was this concert with proud Jews, you know, wearing the yarmulkes and singing sort of a mix of Jewish music with Carpathian folk sounds and very proud to be Ukrainian. And to top it off, they were raising money for the Ukrainian military, including a special fund for the Azov Regiment, which is sort of a civilian militia based in Mariupol. And even if you look up Azov on Wikipedia, it says they're neo-Nazi. A lot of media sort of follows this narrative that comes from Russia. And here I met these Jewish musicians who were not only happy to be Ukrainian, but were actually giving money to the famed Azov militia, which they told me is not neo-Nazi in any way.
You know, I was watching a news report yesterday about how the TV news channels in Ukraine there are kind of banding together to broadcast the truth to that country. What's being done to get that information to Russians who are hearing all of this propaganda about actors staging these atrocities or Ukrainians doing these things themselves? How is that going? What can you do?
Well, at first, and among journalists here, there was some concern of when President Zelensky issued that edict uniting the national television stations, some free speech concerns, because Ukrainians still fiercely hold on to their free speech. The local media I work with here, Tvoye Misto, is completely unaffected by that and still free and independent. But I should note that concern. But as far as reaching Russians, it's difficult. I mean, everyone I talk to, especially people in Kharkiv, where they have so many close ties with Russia, they can't talk to their family or their cousins in Russia, because almost by every report I've heard from maybe at least a dozen friends who have close ties to, or had relatives in Russia, every Russian they spoke with in the early days of the war believed everything Putin said. And so as far, I have yet to find a Ukrainian who's in regular communication with a Russian relative. And I think it makes it very difficult to reach them.
You'd think in this day and age of satellite communication and the internet that there would be effective ways to break through that. But as you say, it's not that easy, is it?
Well, and I see that, and as we've mentioned a little bit yesterday, someone sent me a video today from an American activist, suggesting, I mentioned this on the radio with you yesterday too, but, you know, suggesting that because Zelensky is an actor, that somehow this is theater. And, you can look at the, I guess the best we can do is we can say, hey, we're here. You know, maybe the best thing we can say is anyone who thinks this is not real is welcome to come visit. You know, you can fly to Poland and you can cross the border. And we've had many people from all over the world, from Australia to the United States, have come here either to fight or to help with humanitarian aid. We have several of those people in our office who just felt inspired to come here. So I would say anyone who really doubts what's happening, who has the means, is absolutely welcome to come visit and come help out.
One of the best reports on what's really happening there was from NBC's correspondent Richard Engel yesterday. Are you able to see those reports that we're seeing here, Joseph?
Absolutely, yeah. We have completely free internet access here. And the only to access Russian websites, I have to use a VPN because a lot of those are blocked here, and you know, Russian media has been blocked. But the rest of the world, all the communications are open, for sure.
Did you say VPN you use? What is
that? Yeah, VPN, where it hides your location on your computer and your cell phone. I need to use that to access Russian channels because it's war that, you know, Ukraine has blocked those channels. And because we do try, in our newsroom, we try to keep an eye on, you know, what are the Russians saying? What is their propaganda? And you know, I mean, you raise a good question, and we will continue to think, you know, do we need to create a Russian language news source? I mean, the BBC does this, and it still doesn't seem to reach them. And again, this is an extremely difficult question. And we've had these breakfast meetings every day in our newsroom with different philosophers and Ukrainian thinkers and leaders, you know, saying what needs to happen here. And when we see these Russian atrocities, it's a very difficult reality that. And again, there was a professor that told me that the nation of Russia needs to have a moral reckoning like what Germany had in the 1940s after the World War II. It does seem to be that bad. And that's a scary thought. I mean, and when we think about where is this going and where will this end, it's sort of a scary thought to think of the enemy that not just Ukraine is facing, but maybe other people in the world.
Yeah, and frightening to think this may go on for a while. It's Joseph Lindsley in Lviv, and if you go to our website, we've got the links there and more information and Joseph's reports there at WGNRadio.com. Appreciate the reporting as always, Joseph, and do take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.